Hello and welcome to the Connectivity Christmas bonus episode. I'm your host Nicholas Bray, and today I'm joined by Neil Ronahan.
Hello.
Or Yoda?
I don't even know. This is the second time we're recording the intro. I decided to do something other than hi.
Adam Abunasa.
May the Christmas be with you.
You know, it landed a little well the first time. Upon a second viewing, it didn't hold up as well.
This is not the first or second time that I've said that.
And a newcomer to Connectivity, Matt West.
Yeah, hi everybody.
Hey. Yo. So on this episode, we're just going to be, you know, talking a bit about whatever we've been playing or doing recently in this first half of the show. And then after that, we're going to be moving into a full-on spoiler discussion about Star Wars, The Force Awakens. So before we get to that, we'll just, jump right into it. So Neil, do you want to start things off?
Yeah, so what I've been playing has a tie to what we're going to talk about later. It's the Disney Infinity 3.0 playset for Star Wars The Force Awakens, which came out the same time as the movie. Have any of you guys played Disney Infinity?
I played one once for like 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, I bought like the second one, I think, but didn't get into it too much.
Right, how about you, Matt?
Yeah, I actually played the Star Wars version yesterday as a demo at Toys R Us. So.
Oh, what version was it?
It was set during Episode 2, so it's not the Force Awakens.
That's actually, we have a review of, I guess it's Star Wars Twilight of the Republic is the name of the prequel trilogy playset. We have a review of that for me up on the site. I did not like that very much. On the other hand, so far, the Star Wars The Force Awakens playset is really great. And I think a little bit of that definitely has to do with the fact that, like, I'm, as we'll discuss later, I'm super into this world. So I just want to kind of explore that world more. Right now, I'm still in the first area of, you know, Jakku, and playing as the different characters, kind of doing, I mean, it's a lot of stuff where, like, you have a hub world, and then you go on different missions, and you just kind of explore the world. Some of the things are, like, vehicular-based. Some of them are, you know, battle arena things. Some of them are just, like, go around the environment and collect stuff. It's almost kind of like a 3D platformer, but with Star Wars in some respects. But I guess the combat is a little more the focus. You have characters that can level up. They are figures, and they have four. It's Rey, Finn, Poe, and Kylo Ren. But I'm digging it a lot. I'm excited to play more of it. And I also, because of a deep discount at Toys R Us, I picked up the original trilogy, that playset that comes with Luke and Leia, and I also got Han and Chewie. So
nice.
I'm going to be playing Star Wars games up to my eyeballs and continue to not play Xenoblade, which makes me a little sad. It's not that I don't want to play Xenoblade, it's just that Xenoblade's a big commitment. And also I'm reviewing the Force Awakens playset for the website, so that kind of takes priority. But other than that, has anybody else been playing SteamWorld Heist?
Yes.
Nope.
SteamWorld Heist is incredible.
Yeah.
That's kind of all I have to say about it, is that, like, if you're not playing it and you like video games, you should probably keep an eye out on SteamWorld Heist. It's real good.
I haven't really looked into it at all. I'd have to read something about it. I haven't really kept up on what it is and stuff.
What's it for?
It's 3DS. It will be coming to, like, Wii U and basically everything else in the future. But 3DS at first.
Okay, I don't know if you listened to our last episode, but we don't really play eShop games.
Unless they're DSiWare.
It was an eShop episode.
Yeah, okay.
Go to download Pop Island. Looks really good. So Neil, you also played Fast Racing Neo, right?
Indeed, I did. There is a review.
If you want to quickly, did you like it then?
I liked it very much. The one thing about it is that it's hard as balls. Like, that's probably when it comes down to it, that's the only negative thing that I can kind of ascertain about that game, is that it's real hard.
Yeah.
It's super fun. It's basically like, if you wanted another F-Zero game, this is the game you should be playing. And you remember how F-Zero GX was really hard? Yeah, this is really hard too. I do wish, and I've talked about this, we have a video review up on the YouTube channel. And I talked about this there, but it's kind of a bummer because, like, you know how, like, F-Zero has, like, it's like Captain Falcon and Samurai Goro and James McCloud and Mr. EAD and everything? Yeah, this has Kumagori Corporation, Zville Company, Spark Unlimited. Like, these are the names of the ships that you're piloting. It's all based off of imaginary future companies. Mm. And that's way less engaging than, like, here's a dude, he's a bounty hunter, and he's got this ship, and here's his rival bounty hunter, and, like, here's this weird clone. Like, even if the story in F-Zero is largely stupid, like, it's there. It exists. Yeah. And that's fun. Yeah.
Hmm.
But, yeah, this month has been kind of an embarrassment of riches, unexpected riches for the eShop. Mm-hmm. I mean, even with just Fast Racing Neo and Steam World Heist, those have been primarily the only games I've played so far this month. And I haven't really been upset. Like, they took my attention away from Xenoblade, and I'm not really, like, bummed out. Like, Xenoblade's still going to be there when I have more time to put into it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. That's how I feel about that.
Cool. So, we'll move on to the next person. How about you, Matt? What's been happening?
Well, I am currently in the middle of Xenoblade Chronicles X and SteamWorld Heist at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of just whatever I have the time to play for. If I have a long stretch of time to sit down and play something, I'll play Xenoblade. And if I'm on the go or whatever, and I've got my 3DS with me, I'll play SteamWorld Heist. Both of them are absolutely incredible. I just got my Skell in Xenoblade Chronicles X, and that has kind of opened up. It kind of changed everything about the game from an exploration standpoint, which is really cool. And like Neil said, SteamWorld Heist is fantastic, and if you guys haven't played it, you should definitely check it out. It might be my favorite 3DS game this year.
Hmm, that's pretty high praise.
Yeah, I mean, I've been working on my top games of the year list, and SteamWorld Heist keeps on ascending. Mm. Like, it's scary. I did not expect it to be that high.
Yeah,
and it's a meaty game too.
Yeah.
Because how far are you in it, Matt?
Just a few hours.
Okay. Like, have you gotten to like how there's like kind of a second act? Have you gotten there?
No.
Okay. Yeah, there's way more game than you would think left.
Okay.
Because you have like kind of that first thing where you're kind of like in the outer rim, so to speak.
Right.
And then you open up another map, and I've opened up another map after that.
Oh wow.
And I have a feeling that this might be the end, because I mean it makes sense, like three acts, like that seems normal. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure.
I know Image and Form, when it released, they said that the first playthrough would take around 20 hours, and so that's a pretty big game for. For an eShop game.
Yep. Mm. I mean, it's priced kind of like that, like a dollar per hour, so to speak. I think it's $16.99 until the end of the year, and then it's going to go back up to $20.
Yeah.
You also get a free 3DS theme, so cool. Except for I had a review. I'm actually reviewing it for Nintendo Force magazine. So I didn't get the 3DS theme, but I mean I'm reviewing it, so I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. So I guess that's it for you then, Matt.
I don't have time to play anything else. So those two are just cool. So consuming. So
Well, you seem like you've gotten pretty far in Xenoblade if you've got the skill. So
yeah, I think I'm around 30 or 35 hours, somewhere around there.
Hmm. It's a pretty good amount of time. So Adam. How about you?
Well, I've been traveling the world. I have, I'm on vacation right now in New York, not in Buttfuck, Nebraska right now.
And, is that the town that you're from?
I am from Buttfuck, yeah. It's a small town. It's only, they don't really populate, so.
Apparently, it's the same size as Zelda Wii U.
Yeah, no, that's the county. It's Zelda Wii U is bigger than my hometown. But I went to, firstly, I don't know if you guys saw on Facebook, but there's trash everywhere.
I mean, there's trash everywhere where there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people in New York.
There's a lot of people. I've been taking pictures of trash, like trash in the background of every picture I take.
Noticed that on Facebook. I'm like, he's got some interesting photos there.
But I went to the Nintendo World Store, and I don't know why I spent my entire life wanting to go there.
It's not that exciting. Like, I mean, it's nice for, I guess, people like me, where it's like, oh yeah, you know what, the city's like 2 hours away, I can go there, like, if I'm looking for any of those World of Nintendo figures from Jack's Pacific, they're probably all there, that's where I got my big Ganondorf. But, like, you go there and you're just kind of like, oh, it's just some, like, kitschy shit and some games. All right, cool.
Yeah, well, I was looking for a new 3DS XL charging dock, which they did not have. I was looking for the underwear with the Pikachu butt on them that they have at the Pokemon Center that they did not have. And I got a Wii U gamepad charger, which my sister's cat ate mine, like, a month ago.
That's unfortunate.
It was a big bummer. She told me she'd buy me one, and then I texted my family, like, hey, I'm buying this, so if someone got me it for Christmas, it was a stupid gift anyway. And then my whole family freaks out, and it's like, no, that's your Christmas present. And I was like, you guys are assholes. Why would you buy me that and then keep it from me? Like, it's a gift, and you give me this $12 cable. Like, I bought...
Are you going to get, like, 6 charges on Christmas Day?
I would be okay with that, because this cat, man, he ate my sister's MacBook charger, and I went, and I got her a MacBook charger, and I gave it to her. I didn't hold it until Christmas, and those things are expensive. So I was, like, so upset that she's the one that bought it for me. I'm like, you're a bad person. And then she said I was a bad person, and we got in this big text fight. it was really bad. But yeah, New York is really cool. Like, there's trash everywhere. There's disappointment at every corner. I saw 3 Broadway shows, and one of them was really good.
But so what, you saw Book of Mormon?
I saw Book of Mormon, and that was
pretty
good.
Which is great.
Yeah. I saw Beautiful, which is the Carole King musical.
Ah, okay, and cool.
I'm a huge Carole King fan, but I had no idea.
Random, and that's cool.
I'm from buttfuck Nebraska, all right? I didn't know that her life was so boring. Like, I was amazed, but the songs were all really good in it. And then I saw The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, which was my favorite book when I was a kid. And then I came here, my brother was like, oh, you should see that show. And he points, and I'm like, what? What? That's a show? Like, oh my God. So I was really excited to see that. I guess they were all good. And I saw Star Wars on Broadway.
That's pretty cool.
Which was pretty cool. It was expensive,
yeah,
awesome, too.
Yeah, I mean, movies are very expensive, especially when you're in the middle of one of the biggest cities in the fucking world. So,
yeah. Expensive. But for games, I don't have a 3DS charger. I don't have a Wii U charger. So I have a computer. And I recently played... I was trying to not do homework because it was finals week, you know? So I was trying to put things off. And I found a game called Her Story, which is... Cool. Super, super good.
I've been wanting to check that out. It's by the person who made that. I forget his name, but he was the director of Silent Hill Shattered Memories, which is a superb Wii game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm really into, like, mystery stuff that's kind of ambiguous. Like, I loved the first season of Serial. And this one, it's, you watch, like, clips of 7 different interviews with the same woman. And you're trying to figure out who murdered her husband. And it starts off with, like, 4 clips, and they're labeled murder. And you watch them, and then you just kind of figure out what you do. And you click in the search bar, and you type in different words. And then whatever you type in brings up clips that have that word in their transcript. And you don't have to get all the clips in order to see the credits, but... You want to watch them all, so you go and you just are putting in random words like the, like, clothes, butt. Sock, butt.
I wonder if,
like,
she says butt. Does she say butt?
Oh, she's British, man. She says all sorts of fun stuff. and then you
Did
get
she
really
say
offensive.
Clusterfuck?
No,
I mean,
no,
she says
no.
Clusterfuck. That'd be pretty fun.
No, she doesn't. But I was typing in, like, Cheerio and stuff, and that didn't pop up. I was like,
Cheerio, Cheerio.
I feel like an asshole now.
Blimey.
Yeah, that's all I've played. Hopefully for Christmas I'll get a charger for my fucking controller so I can play. Oh, I also think that someone got me Xenoblade for Christmas, so...
That'd be cool.
It'd be cool if I also got a charger.
Yeah, then we can probably start playing it at the same time.
you'll definitely need a charger for Xenoblade.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I guess before we move on, just with the whole New York thing, like being the person who lives closest to it, and like it's a pretty easy day trip for me.
Who didn't want to come visit me? I just want to put that on record.
I just got a dog. I didn't have any heat on Saturday. I had to deal with that mess and a new dog.
We don't have heat, and I love dogs. You could have brought the dog.
No, we couldn't have brought the dog to the city. That would have involved putting the dog on a 2-hour train ride. And then I was doing family Christmas today. Because my parents are visiting my sister, who's about to have a baby.
I love Christmas and babies.
There wasn't a baby yet. I mean, my sister's in South Carolina. So, like, this was the day that I was doing Christmas with my parents.
Over meeting a stranger. That's
yep.
nice.
Yeah.
It's real nice.
Stranger that writes for the website that I run. Like, that's priorities, man. But with New York, it's like, no, you're right. Like, it kind of smells like garbage. Because there's a lot of garbage everywhere, and like there's a lot of things to do in it, which is great. But like whenever I leave there, I instantly need to take a shower.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's no hot water here in my brother's apartment.
Really? Where does he live? I mean, you don't need to like give exact road.
Queens.
Just, like, oh, okay.
Somewhere like Astoria, I think it's called.
Okay, yeah, Astoria is really nice.
But yesterday there was no hot water, and I couldn't figure out his shower. There's like 3 or 4 knobs. Like I don't know what's going on. So I took a cold shower. And then today it was really cold, and I was like, I'm not taking another cold shower. So I boiled a pot of water and took it into the shower with a coffee cup. I was like pouring it on me and stuff. That's how I took my shower today.
How long are you there? Are you like heading back tomorrow or?
Yeah, I leave in the morning. My flight's at 11. So.
Oh, okay.
And my last name is Abu Nasser, so I have to get there, you know, 4 hours early.
At least, like, you're aware of it. You're aware of your unfortunate lot in life.
Yeah.
See, my thing is, I just with my last name, I just opened myself to a lot of, like, off-color Irish jokes. I had an issue with my heat yesterday, and the guy who came over was like, Ronigan, is that Irish? I'm like, well, the G's silent, which, if it's Irish, like, duh. And then he started to make a lot of like, oh, my luck isn't that good. And I was like, okay, that was a very terrible Irish accent. But like, thanks? I don't know. But if after this, you should go to 53rd and 6th. And there's a website. If you go to 53rdand6th.com, it's this place that has halal food. There's a couple other ones in the area. I don't know exactly where all the locations are.
There's one on like, every street corner, dude.
Yeah, but this is a specific one. Like, there's a website. It's 53rdand6th.com. And it's some of my favorite food in the city. And it's like $6, and you get like a big plate of like chicken, rice, and this very good white sauce.
That's what I ate before the podcast. And that's like what my family makes. Like I'm going to have that like 4 times over Christmas week. Like, you need chicken
and the other
rice
thing,
here.
And if you've never had Japanese curry, which this is probably that, this one, you're probably screwed. There's no way you can have this,
because
it's probably closed. But it's by Port Authority, like 40th Street and 8th maybe. It's Gogo Curry. It's the only Japanese curry that I've been able to find on the East Coast. And it's pretty good. It's not quite as good as the stuff out in California, but it's pretty good.
Dude, I don't know where that is. I know where the stop next to my brother's house is, and the stop next to the Disney store is, and that's it.
That's actually, the stop next to the Disney store isn't really that far away from this place.
Wait, really?
Yeah, because that's 42nd Street, isn't it? Or like Times Square?
Yeah, it's Times Square, I think.
Yeah.
It's not a square. It's like a whole, like...
I know, it's weird.
Square mile.
If you... I mean, and we could tie this back to Nintendo a little bit. You know how there's, like the military island?
No. In, like, Nintendo games?
No. Like, in Times Square, there's... I think... I don't know the exact name of it. But, like, the Hard Rock Cafe there.
I do not.
Okay. But there's, like, kind of an island in the middle of Times Square that, for Wii Sports Resort, Nintendo filled it all with sand. And, like, had, like, a big, like, it was a beach theme party. There was, like, a guy from Gossip Girl was there. And we actually, if you go on the website, we have an interview with Bill Trennan from that, in which it ends with me and Jared accosting him, being like, Mother 3, what about another code? And him just running away from us. So Nintendo had this event where they put all the sand in the middle of Times Square, and then it fucking poured at the end of it. So there was just sand all over the street. And that was when I was like, all right, guys, it was real cool. I'm going to leave now. You deal with this. Bye. But yeah, so that's my treatise on New York and my recommendations of things to eat as a person who's lived close to it, but has always been kind of a tourist to that city.
Cool.
That's very cool.
As for me, the only thing I've been playing recently was I finished Uncharted 3. I like played through that over a few days or a week or so, whatever, and that was okay, I guess. It was an Uncharted game. It was
so fun. You played the other two, right?
I'd played two before. Okay. I haven't played number one.
Number one isn't fun to go back to after playing two or three. That's
yeah, if I ever get a PS4, I'll get the collection and just play it on there. I'll at least try it. So,
and I think on the PS4 collection, I think they might have improved some things about the original Uncharted, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. Okay. I don't mind the Uncharted games, but like they are very much just sort of like, I don't know, like Michael Bay movies that are slightly playable. Yep. I mean, like that's really all they've got. But like the production values are so good, and it is entertaining just to see it and sort of, you know, jump across buildings and things explode and stuff.
I mean it's like watching an Indiana Jones movie, and you occasionally play it.
Yeah,
which I mean, I don't have much of an issue with that, and I understand why people love them so much. I really enjoyed playing Uncharted 2. I started playing Uncharted 3 and kind of stopped a couple hours into it because the story didn't grip me as much, and I just felt like I was playing a movie, which there's some times where that's very appealing, just not when I was playing Uncharted 3.
Sometimes when I'm playing those games, like I feel like they shouldn't pin you down for very long. Sometimes there's like shootouts and there's just like so many guys, and you're sort of stuck shooting for like 5 to 10 minutes because I die a fair bit in those games because I sort of take risks, and like there's like I've killed like 10 guys and then there's like another 10 more that come flooding in. You say, oh, they need to.
No, I think we play it similar ways because I'm usually the kind of person that's like, I could just sit here and snipe everyone off, or I could just run into it and go guns blazing and see what happens.
See, that they should like. You know, they should have like reduced the enemy amount, I think, and made it so you had more, even more forward momentum. So you're sort of always being able to like move forward and get out of there.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would have helped much, but you know, they've got to put something in your way. But yeah, sometimes it's just too many guys. Yeah. And other than that, I went back and started playing Lego City Undercover on the Wii U.
Oh, that's a very good game.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like, it started off a bit slow, but now that I'm like more into it and I've got more of the like disguises and opening up the world a little bit more and stuff, it's pretty fun. Like, I just did the Mayan area, I think, and just started going back towards the city on like a what was it? Like, I had like this giant semi-trailer sort of thing, and I was being pursued by a bunch of bikers, and I was just thinking, this feels like a Lego version of Fury Road almost, and I was like, yeah, this is cool.
I love that game.
Pretty fun.
I liked it a lot.
It has a bunch of performance issues, though. I mean, the frame rate takes a hit of quite a lot, unfortunately. But yeah, it's fun.
I just love that you got points for driving on the sidewalk. Like, it was encouraged.
Yeah.
Knock everything over and just you watch the little gemstone things go flying up to your counter.
Mm-hmm.
Just therapeutic, you know? Just go run over all the Lego people.
So yeah, I'll probably keep playing that for the near future. It probably won't take too long to get through the story. I don't think I'm going to try and like collect a whole bunch of stuff. I think I'm just going to try and plow through the story and just sort of explore a little bit, but not really care about too much. I mean, there seems to be a lot of doodads you can get really stuck like collecting.
Yeah.
I mean, like I think I've done a fair bit of the game, but like my percentage is at like 5% or something. So maybe the game ends at like 20%, then the rest of the percentage is like your collectibles. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But hey, Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we'll take a short break, and we'll be back with our spoiler-filled Star Wars discussion. So if you have not seen the movie, do not come forward any further.
Yeah, just go see the damn movie. It's pretty good.
Yeah, pause, go see the movie, and then come back.
Yep. Yeah, you absolutely want to experience it unspoiled. So.
All right, so yeah, we'll take a short break and be back in about 30 seconds. Back to talk Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
I'm about to talk about my favorite movie.
It was pretty good.
Wait, are we talking about spoilers?
Yeah, of course we're talking spoilers.
Yeah,
in case you
missed it.
Vader is Luke's father. Spoilers.
I mean, I'll clear the air here. This is my favorite movie of 2015.
Oh yeah, mine too.
What?
Like, I love this movie. I've read a lot of complaints about it, and I kind of see where they're coming from, but at the end of the day, and yes, this is totally, like, my nostalgia for a series that I kind of grew up with, even, I mean...
Well, yeah, we were in the wilderness years, we were growing up in the 90s,
yeah.
So...
But it was still, like, I mean, Star Wars was still, I mean, I guess...
It was still a thing, yeah.
I guess the, yeah. Like, if you grew up in, like, if your formative years were, like, the mid to late 80s, Star Wars might not have affected you as much, but I think for the majority of us here, we were all, our formative years were like, you know, mid to late 90s, early 2000s, and that was when Star Wars fever built back up, and then reached a crescendo, and then fell right back down to earth after the prequels.
After the Phantom Menace.
But I mean, like, there was a tangible buildup I remember as a child when the re-releases came out, and then the rumors of the prequels...
Was... Super fun. I mean, I remember I saw Episode 4 and Return of the Jedi. I missed out on Empire, but because, like, we just seen them on TV and, you know, recorded VHS copies off TV. It's like, oh, because cool seeing them at the movies. And at that point in time, all the extra stuff that they added back in was kind of cool. I thought it was cool at the time.
Yeah. I mean, it was new. Like, that's why it was cool. Yeah. And now that it's not new, people look back at it and you're like, well, that sucked. But anyway, I mean, just that's like, I will totally admit that a lot of the reason why I think The Force Awakens is as good as it is and why it means so much to me is because of my attachment to the series. And I think that if you don't have quite that same Star Wars attachment, there's totally flaws in this movie. I honestly don't give a fuck. I love that world. I can't wait to see more of that world. I want as much as that world with those characters as humanly possible.
See, Neil, everything you just said are the reasons that I didn't like this one as much as I hoped to.
So you didn't like the characters?
I loved the... What characters, dude? Only character that...
There's like a dozen of them.
There's three.
So many. Some of them, okay. So, Captain Phasma does almost nothing. I'll give you that.
So the movie is really fast. Like, it's pretty long, but it's really fast. They don't have many... slow beats other than like a little in the beginning. The only character that really has any sort of arc is Rey. She's the only one that grows
at
all.
I think Finn also has an arc. I think Kylo Ren has an arc. I think Han has an arc.
Mm-hmm.
BB-8 fucking has an arc, man. Like,
I feel like
not a well-defined one because it's a fucking robot, but
most of the character growth for returning characters happened at some point between 6 and 7. Finn's happened before the movie where he decided, I don't want to be a stormtrooper, and that was
that
his...
doesn't happen before that movie. That happens,
it happens
in the first fucking
scene, like,
man.
The first scene at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And then it was...
And you're seeing him deal with it throughout it. And like, no, it's bullshit if you think that Han doesn't have any kind of character arc in this movie. He gets to the point where he's like, alright, I'm gonna face my son. Like, that happens during the movie. That doesn't happen before the movie. Yes, there was a lot of things that happened to him in between 6 and 7, but Han has an arc throughout that movie.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I feel like we didn't get to, like, there wasn't as much world building as the old ones. It was just so
I think part of the reason is that there was so much world building that was necessary, which is why the movie kind of borrowed a lot of plot elements from A New Hope in the original trilogy, was because that's a nice shorthand to use and make it familiar, but then kind of lay the groundwork and then start to spin people's minds a little bit with, I mean, I think Kylo Ren's a great villain.
I thought Kylo was interesting because going into it, I was thinking, you know, how do you make another villain that is going to be fun to watch and like has something interesting about them after Vader? I mean, people have tried in the EU, and I haven't read anything in like the old expanded universe and stuff, but it always struck me as people like were not really sure how to create another villain. And I think Kylo is interesting because he's trying so hard to be like Vader, but he's not. I think you could even argue that he's not as naturally gifted with the Force as well. He seems to be really trying, like he has to really reach for it. It doesn't come as naturally to him. And I mean, he doesn't have much like respect. Like he doesn't control his troops as well. Like you see the stormtroopers like running away from him, and cause he's just like freaking
out.
And,
I like that scene.
You're right.
Yeah. He's just like unstable. He's like,
One of the things I love the most about Kylo Ren is that everybody thought he's the new Darth Vader. He's the guy with the mask. He's all in black. He's got the red lightsaber, but he's really nothing like Vader outside of those aesthetics. He's unhinged. Like this guy
really,
is crazy.
He's Vader. He's Vader as Anakin in a way.
Yeah.
And that's a running theme throughout all three trilogies. And I mean, I think that's also a little part, Adam, kind of speaking to your concern. And I hear that in that, unfortunately, this movie was made to be part of a new trilogy, which A New Hope was not. Yeah. So you have the differences there where, you know, as far as like for some characters not being as developed, I see where you're coming from. I think that Finn has something of an arc, but it's a little light. I'll give you that. And I have a feeling that over the course of the next two movies, that's probably where we're going to go deeper into that. And there will be a significant arc between the trilogy. But viewing it as a singular movie, you're probably right that some characters got the short shift. I feel like the best example of that is Captain Phasma, where, like, the creator is, like, J.J. Abrams is like, that's my favorite character. It's like, what, for her three lines?
Yeah. Another thing you mentioned, Adam, was you felt like there was a lack of world building. And I will agree to some degree that there is. Like, for example, we still don't know how the remnant of the Empire became the First Order. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and we're still not even entirely sure why they're hunting for Luke or what their real motivation is. But again, like Neil said, I think that's something that we're going to find out over the course of the trilogy rather than just in one standalone movie.
It felt like some bullshit that they're going to try and make me watch a TV show to figure out, which Disney, you know, they like to do.
I mean, they did that with Marvel.
I know.
But
and
also,
you
know what? I think if they have a movie where they explain, like, and this is exactly what happened, that movie's 2 hours and 45 minutes, and we're all bitching about how long and slowly paced it is.
Well, you also have to think, they're doing these anthology films now. So, like, next year we have Rogue One, which is about how the Rebellion stole the Death Star plans. And then we've got the Han Solo movie that, who knows when that takes place. I'd assume somewhere between 3 and 4 with a young Han Solo. But they could easily do a between 6 and 7 anthology film about Kylo Ren and how he destroys the Jedi temple that Luke was working at.
Yeah.
So they have tons of movies. They're doing a movie every year from now on of Star Wars. They have tons of time to explore all different kinds of ideas.
Yeah, I think judging like some of the story elements of the one movie is hard at the moment because we haven't seen how it was going to play out over the course of two films, the next two films. And I think this is the first Star Wars trilogy where they actually have plotted out the big strokes over the course of three films instead of sort of,
I think the prequels were planned out, but I mean, I guess planned out in quotes because who knows what Lucas was actually doing. Because didn't he claim that like episode one's been written for 20 years, it's been sitting in a drawer? Like, no. You wrote that in a weekend, man.
Yeah, like he probably had some of the ideas, you know, where he thought it would go, but a lot of the it's probably not as tightly worked out as what.
They were restricted now. I went through a rewatch marathon of all six of the previous movies a couple days before Force Awakens came out, and rewatching the prequels, like, oh, there's a lot of bad things about those movies. They're still fun. You can tell, like, the prequels are kind of weighed down by the fact that all of this backstory was already established in the original trilogy, and they kind of had to, like, make square pegs fit round holes. Like, I think that the idea of, like, Anakin and Obi-Wan fighting on a lava planet, and that's, like, where they fought, like, that, I feel like that's something that I remember hearing as a child. And, like, the Clone Wars was something that was mentioned, I believe, in A New Hope. So you have to fit a lot of these things into that, which is why, if you look at some of the things in the prequels and how, like, there are contradictions in the original trilogy for things that happened in the prequels. And I'm excited to see where they go with The Force Awakens, because they don't have that restriction.
It's more exciting because we don't know where the story's going. It's like...
Yes.
The prequels could only be so exciting because... You know, we kind of already know where it's heading. Like,
there's a dramatic irony to the prequels because you're like, this little kid's going to be Darth Vader.
I think it would have been interesting. I don't want to get too far off track about, you know, what if the prequels, but it would have been interesting if they'd made Vader appear like he turned in the first film, and like it twisted it, because everyone would have assumed that he was going to do that in the third film. That might have been interesting.
Yeah, that would have been fine.
Anyway, going back
little 9-year-old Darth Vader
out there going fucking Padme.
What Adam was saying just before about how he's had a few problems with like the pacing and stuff. I'd have to watch it again, but trying to think on the last couple of days, I'm like, yeah, if some of the scenes could have had maybe a little bit more time to breathe. I think Rey should have been had more interaction with Han than what she did, because it to me it came off like, how sad can you really be? You've known this guy for 3 hours or so. I mean
that's like Luke with Obi-Wan in the original, though.
Yeah, but at least Obi-Wan and Luke were together like longer.
They were neighbors, kind of.
I mean, I have neighbors too. I barely talk to them.
But what if one took you on a space adventure and then died? You'd be pretty sad. Like, oh, you stranded me out in space, man.
Well, the whole thing with Rey and Han is like, what if a celebrity, like a war hero, took you on an adventure and then died, and you bonded? Like, I mean, I guess I see where you're coming from, but A New Hope has the exact same problem.
I know. Here's... But like, you look at it though, like they get on the Falcon, they go to the planet with the Maz or whatever.
Oh yeah,
and Rey leaves that room, goes out into the forest. She doesn't see Han again until he dies.
He's spoilers.
He's with her for a couple of scenes at the most. I mean, they don't. Am I remembering it wrong? They were on the freighter with the Falcon. You're pretty much right. That.
I mean, yeah, because Rey never goes to like the Rebel base until the very end of the movie. Which is also, I guess there's a little weirdness to the fact that like she's never met Leia before and they immediately hug. But maybe that's because Leia's her aunt or her mom.
Could be.
No, probably her aunt. I would like to think that maybe Leia's just like, oh yeah, I did birth that chick.
I forgot about that one. Whoops.
Before we move on into theories, here's how I viewed the Han and Rey relationship. Rey grew up, you know, she got left on Jakku when she's what, 4 or 5?
Yeah.
She has nobody. Like, she's got that guy that she brings parts to every day, and he gives
played
her...
by Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
Oh really?
I mean, other than that guy who she has basically no relationship with, you know, she has no interaction with anybody. She's living inside of this AT-AT that's been destroyed, and she has no other human human interaction. And so when this Han guy comes along, Kylo Ren mentioned it, you know, he's the father she never had. I mean, they were together for a very short time, but again, that's the only real human interaction she's had with another person, and she actually bonded and connected with him.
Yeah. So. And I think that's effective use of... I mean, I feel like they effectively conveyed that in a short amount of scenes, and I guess when it comes down to it, my preference in movies is for something that's well-paced as opposed to something that's long and explains everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like for The Force Awakens, like, yes, it would have been nice to see more of Han and Rey together, but I feel like they effectively conveyed what they needed to convey to make that death important.
Well, no, yeah. It's... Mm-hmm. You have to have ups and downs. Like, I didn't feel like I spent time in any place in the movie, you know? It was just go, 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 go. Like, I feel like I've fucking lived on Yoda's planet and in the Millennium Falcon and at the Rebel base, and all these places feel like real places that I've been.
Maybe that's because you've seen those movies and they've been a part of your life for fucking 20 years. Maybe that's part of the reason. Because go back and watch those movies. Because
they have slow-paced scenes.
Yeah.
Like this movie's fucking longer than every movie from the original trilogy.
And it's so fast. It's constant. Boom, 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 boom. So is A New Hope, man.
Like, go back and watch that movie. It moves real quick.
With, oh, use your mind, with the Jedi floaty ball thing. That is a scene where everyone is hanging out, having a good time. Oh, these characters are friends. And they don't really have a scene like that in this
one. They have several scenes like that.
With the floaty ball?
Here,
Well, I mean, not exactly with the floaty. They actually, the floaty ball does show up.
Really? It was so fast, I didn't notice.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a quick throwaway thing.
A New Hope was considered extremely fast for a 1970s film as well. People, like, were saying that that was a very fast film, and compared to today, it's kind of slow. But, you know, back to people in 1977, it probably felt a lot like this new movie. So the speed, I didn't have a problem with the speed, just maybe some of the details I might have preferred slightly different, but... Yeah. You know, it's very nitpicky stuff for me.
No,
I was reading an article earlier today about, because, I mean, there's the whole, like, kind of weirdness with R2-D2 where it just kind of wakes up and, like, what the fuck? It was actually an interview with, I think it might have been maybe Kasdan, one of the screenwriters, and Abrams, you know, writer, director. And they said with some of the R2-D2 stuff is that they, for pacing reasons, they didn't go into as much detail with that. That they were kind of hinting at, and this answered a question that I kind of had at the end, that the assumption was that R2-D2, when he plugged into the Death Star in the original one, like they had the map to the Jedi Temple, which is the map to find Luke Skywalker. And there is a line by Kylo Ren in which he says that, like, oh, we're searching through the old archives for it. And the assumption is apparently that R2-D2 is apparently doing that too. And the best part is that the writers actually admit that, like, yeah, R2 waking up is kind of a plot convenience. Which, I don't know if that's a satisfactory explanation, but, like, I kind of understand why they're like, okay, yeah, we wanted to keep this movie kind of moving along, and we didn't want to have, like, okay, we're going to explicitly explain why this thing happened, and kind of let it be a little bit like, oh yeah, R2 just found the map.
When I was watching it though, I thought it, like, I think I was thinking they were trying to imply that, like, R2 was woken up by something, or he had, like, Luke, like, had set something in R2 to say, oh, wake up at a specific date, or, like, I thought it was like, you know, he woke up because he was sort of activated or something, but maybe he was just like, oh yeah, here it is, I should wake up.
Yeah, now. I finally found it. He's been in low power mode trying to look for it. Like, I mean, like, that's one thing that, like that's too convenient. Like, yeah. I'm okay with overlooking that. It didn't really kill my enjoyment of the movie, but it is something that I kind of look to as, like, yeah, Deus Ex Machina. It's right there.
Neil, I think I read the same article as you, and they said that, like, BB-8 came up to him and said, like, hey, I have a piece of the map. And R2, that's what woke him up.
That was, yeah.
He was like, oh, hey, I have the map. What's too. What's up, buddy? Let's be friends now. Which, and maybe they were friends.
And that's another thing that, like, I was kind of wondering, like, why the hell everybody wanted to find Luke Skywalker as much. And this is something that, once again, maybe in dialogue or something, they could be more deliberate about it. But after thinking about it, it's not that they're looking for Luke Skywalker specifically, it's that they're looking for the Jedi Temple. And what, like, it's not a map to Luke Skywalker, it is a map to the Jedi Temple where Luke Skywalker is.
Yeah. I do think that they are looking for Luke, though. Like, yeah. I think specifically Kylo Ren and Supreme Leader Snoke, I think they want to take him out. Because he's the last Jedi, he's the only one that can train more Jedi, and if they eliminate him, the Jedi are gone.
Yep.
So,
he's also probably pretty powerful by now as well, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. But one of the things that was really weird to me, and one of the things that I think there will be a lot of theories about, is it just seemed weird that Kylo Ren destroying what he was working on and killing all of his other students and turning to the dark side and stuff, I just felt like that's not enough for Luke to just wall himself off from the rest of the galaxy and watch the First Order destroy everything after everything that he went through in the original trilogy. Do you know what I mean?
By that same token, what did Obi-Wan and Yoda do after Episode 3?
That is, yeah, you're not wrong, but I just feel, I don't know, I kind of hope Luke was better than they were.
Yeah, and I think, I think that we'll find out a lot more about that. I'm pissed that we didn't hear his voice. I was waiting for it, and I got to a point where I was like, ah, oh, they're just going to do this fucking helicopter shot and then end it, aren't, oh, man.
Here, my theory is, and this can tie into why maybe he didn't speak, I do think that Rey is his daughter.
It has to be.
Who's the mother? Who's the mother?
Here's the thing, there was no mother.
There was no mother. Oh yeah, that was my initial reaction.
Jerked off one day and, it's a girl.
It's the opposite. Maybe it was Shmi. Maybe he went back in time.
That's gross. But no, here's the thing. There were 30 years between the trilogies. You know, I mean, I'm sure Luke met somebody at some point, had a daughter, something happened, whether it was the Kylo Ren thing or whatever, and she had to go away for a while, and they had to hide her. Similar to the way that Luke is hidden after Episode 3.
So there's another character that we don't know about that's from the original trilogy?
Not from the original trilogy.
Right after the original trilogy that's gonna...
I mean, there's 30 years in between 6 and 7.
Yeah. And part of the reason why I'm saying this is because I think that maybe that could be why what really depressed Luke and set him off on this course of, well, I'm just going to go away. Like, what if Kylo Ren murders his wife?
Yeah. And why didn't he turn to the dark side like people normally do when their wives get murdered?
Well, I mean, once again, like, Obi-Wan and Yoda saw the entire Jedi Order and their known world crumble and they hid.
Yeah, but then with their wives.
Going off of that, I think the only other possibility for Rey's parentage is granddaughter of Obi-Wan. Like, I can't think of another option. Like, you can't, like, I think it's too much of a mystery that if it's just like, oh yeah, they were just two random people. And they didn't like her, so they ditched her. Or like, yeah, I mean, like, I think it seems evident by her little flashback thing that she might likely have been a part of that Jedi class that Kylo Ren slaughtered. And... you know, she might have survived that. Like, I mean, at least that like, I don't know if that's set in stone with that flashback scene, but, like, I could see that coming from that.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like to me. So I think she's a Skywalker, too. Or a descendant of some characters that we know about.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the thing. And I think as far as other characters that we know about that she could be a descendant of, like, the Kenobis, I mean, that would be a line of people that would be cool to have in the future. But at the same time, like, just make it Luke's daughter, because then you have Skywalker versus Solo. Like, that's the shit. Yeah. You have cousins fighting each other for, like, the fate of the galaxy. Like, that, I want to see that. I mean, we might have already seen that at the end of this movie.
But that's way less fun of a reveal that they're cousins over their brother and sister.
But I don't see, like, before the movie, I was thinking that was a possibility. After seeing the movie, that would be some fucking ridiculous ass plot bending to try to make that make sense.
Yeah, I think if it was Han and Leia's daughter, I think one of them would have had to have said something.
To her, it was so fast. Every time they were about to say something about her, they cut away. So Leia knows who she is. Like, they cut away every time Leia's like, oh, the girl, she's... They cut to action, explosions,
and
stuff.
They didn't actually do that.
Han did to Maz.
Yeah, no,
like,
Han, yeah, it was, it was, With Maz Kanata, there was that thing where it was just like, who's the girl? And then they cut away from it.
Yeah,
because he was about to say, oh, yeah, she's blah, blah, blah. But, yeah.
No. Like, later, they... I don't think he knows who she is. Because later, when she has that vision with the lightsaber, Maz comes down the stairs and she says, oh, I've got to get back home to Jakku. And Maz says, yes, Han told me all about where you're from. So I think rather than giving us a scene where Han explains what we already know, they just cut away to Rey and Finn's conversation.
That's a good possibility, yeah. I hadn't thought of it like that, yeah.
But, I mean, it's the kind of thing, like, I like that there's still mystery. They didn't play their entire hand in the first movie. I don't think they had to.
It's another 2 years until I get my Luke Skywalker
year and a half. Year and a half, man.
It's what, like 520 days?
Something like that. Yeah, because it's May 2017.
Yeah. I really hope they do Luke justice and he's, like, in a fair bit of episode 8, because, like, you know... Luke's probably my favorite character, so
I think we're gonna see a fair bit of Luke in episode 8. And actually, they have
probably
already filmed
the level of Han. Right?
They have already filmed the opening scenes of episode 8.
Yeah. Mark Hamill has filmed them. So.
Yeah, because they filmed at that. An island in Ireland is where that final scene is at. And back in September. I think it was rumored that they were supposed to be doing reshoots, but it was actually just the opening of episode 8.
Yeah.
So, like, that's out there. People know what happens. I need to know.
What did you guys think of Han dying? I mean, like, if it probably only really happened because Harrison Ford doesn't want to do another one.
Is a curmudgeon?
One. Yeah, so if he'd said, oh, yeah, I'm cool with, like, as many as you want me to do... I don't know if they would have killed him in this movie. Story-wise, I think it would have been more interesting to have him live on past this movie for a little bit, but... Yeah.
Han Solo is my favorite character from the original trilogy, but I knew going into episode 7 that he was going to die. Like, as soon as they announced Harrison Ford is coming back, I knew... Yeah. There were several reasons why, but one of them being, Harrison Ford... originally wanted Han to die in episode 6. That didn't happen. And so I think part of their way to bring him back was to say, look, we'll kill Han in this one, and then you don't have to do any more, but please, 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 please be in this one.
Yeah. See, He got paid a lot of money.
It would have made sense. I agree that he should have died in Return of the Jedi. I think that would have been, just taking the first trilogy as its a self-contained thing, it would have made sense for him to die in that one. But now that so much time has passed and episode 7's like kicking off another one, I don't know if it was the best time for him to die.
I disagree. I mean, I also kind of agree with Matt that it was kind of predictable. I mean, it didn't bug me that it was predictable because, like, I mean, basically that scene started, I'm like, oh, he's fucked. But, hearing about the movie and, like, really, there was a lot about this movie that I kind of was, like, just watching the trailer, I'm like, okay, this is probably going to how it's play out, and I wasn't that far off.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that Kylo Ren had to be related to Skywalker somehow. I knew when they showed the stuff with him and Darth Vader, I'm like, well, that's his grandpa. Like, I didn't know if it was Han and Leia or, like, Luke or whatever. But I think that Han dying, like, once again, I kind of like how it sort of parallels A New Hope. And Han is Obi-Wan in this movie. And I kind of like that. And I think that Harrison Ford knocked it out of the fucking park. He was incredible in this movie. And I think that his death, like, that was a great scene. That, like, I mean, it's a good ass scene, and I think actually the scene's made better by Adam Driver knocking it out of the fucking park too. And I guess to kind of turn the conversation a little bit, I think that Adam Driver as Kylo Ren was spot on and excellent.
Yeah,
me too.
And the more I think about it, the more I like Kylo Ren, because when I was a kid, I thought Darth Vader was awesome, and like I always rooted for Darth Vader. Really? And then when I was a grown up. And I saw the prequels, I hated Darth Vader. And I was like, oh, Anakin, you little fucking prick. fuck you, shit.
They basically merged the characters together with Kylo Ren, and it's kind of awesome.
Oh, it's so well done. Yeah. And I hate his stupid face, that actor. Like, he takes his helmet off and he's got, like, these weird lips and shit. And I just started laughing. Like,
he's got a nice, like, sourpuss face on, and yeah. I dig it. I dig it.
It's like a sad baby.
I'm glad my cinema didn't, like, apparently people have said, oh, some cinemas are like, people started laughing when he took his helmet off. But, like, that didn't happen in mine. I'm like, glad, because, like, I didn't really mind when he took his helmet off. He's like, oh yeah, he looks fine. I didn't really get any problem with it until I read about a bit of the comments online. But
yeah, have you guys seen him in anything else?
No, my sister talks about him all the time.
Yeah, but he's on the show Girls, and it's kind of like, I mean, I feel like there's like some kind of like dumb theory about the idea of like people, like actors playing a character that develops over time, like the whole like Jason Segel and How I Met Your Mother and Forgetting Sarah Marshall, like that's the same character in a way. I mean, it's more just like kind of fun seeing actors develop over time, but seeing him go from Girls to this, like he's playing a similar character but in a different way, and it's to me it's really interesting.
Okay,
but I mean, I like the actor a whole lot, and I thought he was tremendous in this movie. And part of it is that he has a dumb face.
He does.
That's, but I think that he's also a superb actor, and the dumb face is intentional.
Yeah, I think the next time we see him in 8, he's going to be a lot more accomplished and probably look a bit cooler without his helmet somehow. Like, yeah. You know, he'll go to the Snoke stylist or something.
I mean, did he get scarred at the end?
I think he got scarred, yeah.
Yeah, she cut his face.
I mean, that's cool. Give him a reason to have that fucking vein mask.
Yeah, I think they've kind of posed him as a, I mean, obviously, you know, being a grandson, but he's also a huge just fanboy.
Like, yeah, he's a Sith otaku.
Yeah, and
he's
a wannabe. So that's why he's got that mask. I think is because he loves the Vader mask. He wants his own mask. He wants to be the next Darth Vader.
He wants to be just like his grandpa. Like, that's adorable.
Yeah, in a messed up, I'm going to murder the generation between us kind of way.
Yeah.
But back to Han Solo dying. I kind of knew that was going to happen, but from like a really weird article. So Harrison Ford has in his contracts that he's not allowed to fly his personal airplane when he's filming a movie. And as soon as episode 7 finished filming, he crashed his fucking airplane on a golf course, and he was okay, but everyone was like, yay, Star Wars is done filming, Harrison Ford crashed his fucking airplane. And everyone saw that as episode 7 is done, and I saw that as, oh, Harrison Ford doesn't have contracts for episode 8 and 9. That's
gonna
be in 7, but he's not gonna be in anymore. And I assumed he was gonna die, but he could have just been like, man, fuck this, I'm not doing anymore these damn Star movies.
Yeah.
Leia, you deal with them. I was really sad that Leia didn't do anything in like any of the
She didn't do much.
What's she gonna do? She's like a
She never did anything.
She was basically Mon Mothma. Like
Yeah.
And I really like the scenes with her and Han, but she was a glorified cameo. Like I mean, and I think that might have been the right decision. Because we were talking about how there's a lot of characters in this movie, and I don't know if Leia had, I don't think it's a problem that Leia didn't have that much to do.
Man, they could have put her in like Slave Leia costume or something.
Probably not.
I think she'll you know, probably have about the same or a bit more screen time in the next one. So she's gonna sort of be like a presence still, which is cool.
Yeah, I feel like this one was about Han Solo, the next one's gonna be about Luke, and then the third one is gonna be about the new characters.
Yeah. I mean, I would say this was also quite a bit about the new characters too, but Han was
I mean,
I think if we were to be organizing this cast list into like who's the main lead, it's Harrison Ford.
Really? Or I'd say Rey and then Harrison Ford.
Yeah. And then probably.
And then BB-8 and then Finn.
Yeah. And then John Boyega
Kylo Ren somewhere in there too.
Yeah, John Boyega is the guy who played Finn.
Oh, him. Who's
Daisy
the pilot?
Ridley played, that's Poe Dameron played by Oscar Isaac.
That guy, I thought he was going to be, like, awesome main character, and then he died right away, and I was like, oh, he was so cool. Didn't they pay him a bunch of money? And then he came back at the end, and I was like,
yeah.
That's...
Yeah, he was cool.
There's a part of me that's like, could we have followed him? That might have been cooler. How did he get off the planet?
Yeah, I think he's going to be featured a little bit more in the future. Yeah, there was an article that I read earlier today about... I think it was an interview with Oscar Isaac where they asked him about his casting, and I guess he was actually supposed to die there on Jakku. He was really disappointed that he was basically just going to have a cameo, you know? Because he really wanted to be in more Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
I don't know if Harrison you've seen Ford anything with doesn't. That actor.
Yeah.
Oscar Isaac is a good interview.
Yeah, and so I guess J.J. Abrams went home, thought about it, and said, you know what, I like this character, let's find a way to keep him. And so that's why, I feel like that's probably why he's not in as much of the movie as we would like, but that's why he also, it seems like he's dead and then he's gone and then all of a sudden he's back, and that's kind of weird. I'm not upset about it, though, because I like the character and I like the actor.
Yeah, I thought he
was fantastic.
I could also
see each of the new trilogy... movies being but I feel like each of the movies of the new trilogy is going to focus on one of the three new characters too. Like this one was about Rey, and then the next two are going to be about Finn and the pilot.
I'll be honest, I think that Rey is Luke in this trilogy.
Yeah,
not that I don't think like I think Poe is going to have a lot more to do in the later movies, I would hope. But I mean, I think that Rey's the main character for the entire three movies.
I think she's going to spend some time training with Luke.
Yeah, off-screen. I mean, you'll probably have like an Empire how Luke was off They'll training with Yoda up. Once again. Look at this parallels to how these other movies played out. Like, I think we're going
to mention that
the same movie. My brother called this the super special edition of A New Hope.
although there has been a lot of like quotes from people involved with the production of the Episode 8 and 9 that. They will differ a lot more than this differed from A New Hope, and that it seems like the New Hope-ness of The Force Awakens was very deliberate to kind of ease people back into the world, and also probably appease fans who fucking hate the prequels and just want to see more. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like how Star Fox Zero is just Star Fox 64, and everyone's really pissed off. So the people who are just like, "Oh, it's too much like A New Hope," are basically the people who are upset about Star Fox Zero. Because, like, you're getting what you want, what you said you wanted, but it's not exactly what you wanted.
No, what I'm upset about is it wasn't filmed on, like, shitty 70s cameras, low budget. Like, I wanted...
Hey, at least it was filmed on 35mm.
Yeah, at least, like, it was realer than any of the prequels.
Like, it felt so modern, and I wanted, like, old Star Wars, not new Star Wars.
See, that's
it's a modern movie. I think it'd be stupid if this was like, we're gonna make a 70s movie. Like, no. It's 2015, man. You make a 2015 movie, and they did.
They did.
Yeah.
Humor warts and all, they did.
This is exactly what a Star Wars movie should look like in 2015, in my opinion.
I agree.
Yeah.
Mm. And it might have sounded like I was crapping on the humor. I really enjoyed all the humor in the movie.
I did
too. Me too.
Yeah, the humor was funny. The only thing that not grated, but like a couple times when Finn got like super overexcited, I was like, oh, calm down. You're almost veering into not being serious within the situation.
It's funny though, because Han Solo felt the same way that you did, because later on in the movie he's like, you know, calm it down. Like when they're when he's got
calm down, kid.
Yeah.
Did my you favorite... call me Solo?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite moment was when they're on the last point, the Starkiller base planet, whatever that planet is called.
I think it's like, is it like Dakar? No, Dakar.
We don't know what anything is called. They breezed right past
it. To be fair, I don't really think they do a good job of explaining outside of Jakku. It's just kind of like, this is the planet with the cantina thing on it. Even though it's like, what is that, Takodana or something?
Yeah, Takodana, that's what it's called.
That place looked nice, though. Yeah, it was cool.
I would like to spend some scenes there.
Anyway, my favorite moment as far as the humor goes is when it's Finn, Chewie, and Han, and they're on Starkiller Base, and they land there, and they're supposed to go and lower the shields. And Han says to John Boyega's character, he goes, okay, so what was your job here? And he says, sanitation. And so he kind of freaks out. He's like, you don't know how to do anything then. He's like, no, it's okay. will use the Force. And Han turns and looks at him really angrily and says, that's not how the Force works. Like, I laughed so hard
so beautiful.
I mean, it's almost like kind of like how, whatchamacallit, Kylo Ren is like a Sith otaku. Like, Finn is kind of this dude who's just like, stumbles upon the Force, and it's just like, this is the coolest shit ever. What can we do with it? This is great.
Yeah.
Like another kind of like fanboy-y character, which, I mean, I guess I could see some people finding that grating, but to me, like, I really dug it.
No, to me, I related to them because I feel like that's exactly how I would be. So.
Yep.
But I was getting kind of annoyed later, like, Rey was like, oh, Han Solo? Oh, Luke Skywalker? He's real? Like, she just did that, like, one too many times where she, like, fanboyed about...
To be fair, if we lived in a galaxy and there was this whole thing where there was an evil empire and it was, like, they built these things that destroyed planets and then a bunch of ragtag rebels destroyed these things that destroyed planets, and I heard through the whispers of, like, Luke Skywalker, Han Solo. Like, I would shit my pants if I ever heard about or met those people.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I do that every time that I meet someone new on this podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw you after the telethon being like, I get to talk to Johnny Metz. So just imagine if, like, Johnny Metz 30 years ago fucking saved the universe.
Oh my god.
Instead of, like, he's been talking about Nintendo for 15 years.
He's Johnny's Chewy.
TYP. Definitely TYP.
Yeah.
Oh man, Chewbacca, I feel like he got kind of jilted at the end.
Dude, he was a badass.
Oh, he was a badass.
That was so good.
When Leia and Rey were all bawling, where was Chewie?
He was in the Falcon, crying.
No, yeah. He was crying off-screen on his own?
No. He walks by Leia because Finn, who took care of him earlier in the movie when his arm got shot, Finn is hurt, and he goes to take care of Finn. That's what he's doing. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, Chewie's all about the job. Like, I mean...
But then you do have that shot of him in the Falcon sort of, like, upset still and stuff.
I feel like they did a very good job of conveying Chewbacca's emotions. I, like, after Han dies, how he just freaks the fuck out and, like... Yeah, and shoots Kylo Ren, takes out a bunch of other dudes. Like, he goes Hulk mode there.
Yeah, that was good. I'm glad that he, like, just basically didn't even, like, take much time to shoot Kylo Ren. He's just like, damn you! Take him out.
Yeah, he shoots him, and then he sets off a bunch of bombs. So
Yeah.
I think my favorite part of the whole movie was someone asked Chewie, like, oh, Han Solo, isn't he like a war hero or something? Like, they were talking about Han Solo, and Chewie just turns and it's like, I don't know.
Like, shrugs at them. Like Chewie was so expressive in this movie. Like, I really...
Yeah.
And did he have that much to do? He's also a character who can't fucking talk. So, like, what are you going to do with that? Like,
you make a Star Wars
I'm curious to see how Chewie kind of hangs around, because it seems like him and Rey, like,
Raise
his new buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Depends if she, you know, if they make just send her, like, directly down the Jedi path, or, like, maybe the Falcon takes off again after dropping her off or something. Maybe Poe or someone becomes the new Falcon guy or something. But
I mean, it's kind of with Han being gone, like, it does kind of leave that thing of, like, what is a dude who is that, you know, I guess an animal. I don't know. What would a Wookiee do if the guy who he has been co-pilot to for 50 years at this point? What do you do when he's gone?
Yeah, like, I mean, I think Chewbacca, I'm not sure how much of the expanded universe they're counting still, but the original story for Chewbacca was that he was a slave to the Empire, like a lot of Wookiees were. And Han Solo rescued him from slavery, and now Chewbacca owes him a life debt, which is a Wookiee thing. Like, he follows him around for the rest of his life and makes sure that he's okay. And now, if that's still canon, Chewie has failed the life debt, kind of. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Han's dead, and Chewie's still alive.
Yep. I'm not 100% sure. I don't believe that's canon anymore. However, what is canon is that Chewbacca was, you know, palling around with Yoda at the end of Episode 3.
That was so lame.
I read that in Episode 3, they almost had little Han Solo
being raised by
Chewbacca. Which I read that after I saw the movie, and I started crying. Like, I didn't cry during the movie, but I cried when I heard that. Like, oh my god, Han is Chewie's son, and he wants him to die. Like,
well, yeah, they completely deleted the old expanded universe stuff. Like, none of it counts except for whatever they're making now. So,
and I would actually assume that probably that Han Solo anthology movie will probably set up whatever Han and Chewie's relationship is now.
Yeah,
definitely, that's what it's gonna be about.
And you know what, actually, I feel like with Han dying, like, it is a bummer, and like seeing Harrison Ford as that character again was amazing. But the fact that there's a Han Solo anthology movie like in the works coming out in 3 years, like, that's great.
Man, Shia LaBeouf's gonna be so good in that.
It depends who
All right, so let's go that, like, do you guys, like, I mean, I guess, like, maybe, I mean, because Shia LaBeouf, well, before he went insane, he probably would have been a serious consideration for that role. But as far as what you would want to see in a young Han Solo from a current actor, for me, I can answer that I want to see an unknown, because I don't think, like, I want to basically see the equivalent of Daisy Ridley play young Han Solo, because there's any, if it's like Dave Franco, like James Franco's younger brother, who apparently has auditioned for the role, if it's him, like, I've got too much, like, I've seen that guy in a lot of movies. Like, it needs to be someone fresh.
You need to have someone that can actually nail the sort of, I don't know, the way Harrison talks and stuff too. Like, it's got to sound a bit like Han Solo still. People have thrown around the guy that, I haven't seen it, but the movie Age of Adaline, apparently there was a young kid that played Harrison Ford in that, and he even looks like him. So he's already had experience, like, mimicking Ford. So maybe just go with that guy.
One of the things that I really like about Star Wars, and this one in particular, is that they tend to find actors that are not well known and cast them as, like, the main character, like Daisy Ridley. Like, no one had any idea who she even was before this movie, and now she's one of my new favorite Star Wars characters. I think she nailed it. She was fantastic.
She was aces. Like, so, I think she's my favorite character from the new movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. She's definitely my favorite new character.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe Finn. I liked Finn, actually, quite a bit.
Let's
be fair. I don't have a character that I disliked in this movie, and that's the one thing that, like, that's the one thing that I can't kind of walk away from. It. It's like, especially with seeing all six recently, like, there's kind of characters in all the movies, and I'm like, oh, dude, shut up. But in this movie, I was kind of like, no, like, everybody talk. Let's hang out. Like,
yeah, there is not
things. Keep going.
There is not a single new character that was introduced during the prequel trilogy other than maybe Darth Maul, and even then I feel like it's
because
he doesn't talk.
Qui-Gon's pretty boss.
I'm not a huge fan of him in that particular movie. I like some of the stuff he does in the expanded universe.
Yeah.
But in that particular movie, I thought he was just very stoic and kind of boring. But other than maybe those two, I don't like any of the characters from the prequels. Jar Jar sucks. Yeah, and
Padme has her moments, but on the whole is, like, more terrible than good.
The problem with her is that she just has no chemistry whatsoever with Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, she also just becomes a womb in the third episode.
Yeah, she, like, becomes the carrier of the future.
Yeah, like, in episode two, like, I think that outside of the love scenes, which are horrendous, I think that they do a decent job of setting up Padme as this character who, yes, she loves Anakin, but she's also, like, all about, you know, kind of being a senator and doing her job.
And
then in episode three, it's just like, I'm pregnant.
I'm
so beautiful. So are you. I'm so in love. And then I have a broken heart. Like, she's horrible in episode three.
Yes. And so, I mean, there's nobody that was new that I liked in those movies. And so for this movie to come out and me to not be able to name a character that I disliked, like, that's huge. Yeah. That's huge for me. Because I put a lot of emphasis on characters, especially in movies.
Yeah.
And I think that is the one thing that, if anything else, this movie absolutely nailed, is the characters.
It's the one thing that they had to nail, because without new characters, the Star Wars is over. I mean,
yeah.
They had to have three or four likable new main leads to take the franchise forward. They nailed it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, when we told my brother's girlfriend that Han Solo dies, she goes, "What, of old age?" It's very true. Like, the original actors
heart attack
can't do it much longer.
I shouldn't have eaten that burger.
She goes, "Ugh, space cancer."
Space cancer.
But that's really true. They did need new characters because the old actors are old actors, and old actors don't last forever, which is sad.
No,
but we have to be big boys. We're grown ups.
What do you all think about how quickly Rey used the Force, like became kind of good at it?
I think everything went too quickly in this movie, but that's...
I think it would have been more, like, because people have brought that up as being a little bit sort of, like, unbelievable how quickly she sort of progressed.
Yeah.
I think it
basically
could have been...
like, how she doesn't face a significant challenge in the movie. She's just good at everything.
Yeah, yeah, and like, you know, all the stuff with her on the Falcon, everything that makes absolute sense. They established that she was a scavenger. She knew what she was. She'd been fiddling with like parts for years,
and she worked on the Falcon.
And she worked on the Falcon, and it's just with the Force stuff. I mean, she gets out of the Stormtrooper, but the she escapes by using the, you know, persuasion of the Jedi or whatever.
Stormtrooper played by Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Was that the Daniel Craig one?
Yeah, it was James Bond.
Oh, cool. I thought he was just like in the background somewhere. I didn't realize he had like a scene.
Yeah, that's what I only found out about it. Because I had heard the rumors of it before the movie came out. And then they confirmed it, that was Daniel Craig.
Oh, cool. But anyway, where I'm going with that is like, instead of using that technique, it might have been better to have her try and like use the Force to push a button or something, like something small, like she really tried to, you know, just to test it out. And then later in the film where she uses the Force to bring the lightsaber to her, it would have seemed more like, oh yeah, she, you know, it seemed set it up a bit better. Because in Empire Strikes Back, Luke barely could move the lightsaber from the ice in the snow to his hand. Like it was like 3 feet away. And she does it like across like, what, 10 meters or so in like, moves it really fast, so I don't know.
If they set it up that it turns out that like Rey's, like, I don't want to use this term, but I feel like it's the easiest way to do it. Like, if she's basically the chosen one, like if she's the equivalent of Anakin, being this person with like all this raw Force power, because that's the thing is that like with Luke,
that seems to be where they're going.
And Luke
it.
Took a long time to kind of build up with it, but it also like outside, like yes, he did, he was. The Force is strong with this one and all that, but like he didn't have that like natural. It didn't seem like he had quite the same natural power as his dad did. And I mean, it seems like the way that they're kind of pointing in the direction of Rey is that like she's just basically like fucking bursting with the Force.
No, I think that she was.
She's
trained...
got a very high midichlorian count.
She was trained as a baby, and then they fled and took her away. So I think she had some training, kind of forgot it.
See, if that's the reveal
if
that's the reveal in the next one, that'd make it make sense. I'd be like, oh, fine, yeah. She was trained from like 3 to 6, and she'd sort of just forgotten it. But
that,
like, I have a feeling that a lot like our kind of like sort of complaint here will likely be answered early in episode 8. However, I mean, this kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier that. Like, if you view The Force Awakens as a singular movie, there are a lot of issues with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a mistake.
I mean, like, for me, like, I kind of just buy into the whole world. Like, I'm ready to dive in more into the stuff that takes place between 6 and 7 that's in the expanded universe.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all about figuring, like, finding out all the little details that explain things that didn't quite add up in episode 7. But if you're a person who's not crazy... And you watch it and you're like, well, that fucking didn't make sense. Like, yeah, there might be an explanation for it, but it's not in the movie. So I kind of get that argument that The Force Awakens by itself requires more explanation, but is taking it as a part of a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah, it'll all depend on what they answer and what answers we get in 8 and 9, so...
I feel like she's also an apology for Leia and Padme being pretty... unambitious people.
Let's
not put down Leia, because Leia in A New Hope is a badass.
She's a 1970s badass.
Yeah. No, I mean, you want a 1970s movie, so...
But then, like, a couple years later, they, you know, put her in Slave Leia and stuff.
And she fucking killed Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
It makes complete sense. I mean, Jabba was, like, he just wants to humiliate and degrade people. I mean, that's his thing. Like, everyone in that scene, those scenes were the same. Like, it wasn't just Leia.
Yeah, I mean, the difference between Leia and Padme is that in the original trilogy, Leia goes on all the missions.
Like,
She contributes to the success of the rebellion in major ways.
She becomes a general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Padme in the prequels, you can maybe argue that she contributes in episode 1, but in episode 2, she goes into hiding and basically just kisses Anakin. And then in episode 3, we already talked about it, she's just pregnant the whole time. And then she dies.
In episode 2, Padme was doing stuff.
At the back half of 2, because she gets involved with...
The only good part of the plan
still stands.
Yeah. And also, I've been watching some Clone Wars. She does some cool shit in Clone Wars.
Yeah, Clone Wars.
I mean, it sucks because, like, she has a developed character in Clone Wars, and then you get to episode 3 and you're like, oh, damn it.
Yeah,
the best thing that ever came out of the prequel trilogy era is the Clone Wars animated show.
Yeah, and I'm finally, like, I think that the first 2 seasons of that are very rough. And now I've watched season 3 struggling. And it's kicking. It's kicking in season 3.
Yeah.
I tried to watch it a while ago on Netflix, and I've sort of stopped because I was like, a bit hard to get through season 1. So
I think that season 1 does not live up to a good binge watching. Because then you notice how every episode they're like, oh, I've got a bad feeling about this, and you're like, fuck, dude, come on. Like, these are only 20 minutes long. Can we just skip an episode?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think for me, about the time season 3 or 4, it started to get really good, and it gets better from there. So.
It becomes more serialized. Like, I was talking to someone that's watched it all, and he kind of was just like, just read up on what happens in season 1 and 2 and start with season 3.
Yeah, that's not a bad strategy.
Because that's what, like, season 1 and season 2, like, the timeline's kind of all over the place. Like, the Star Wars website recently just put out an official timeline, and it's, like, ridiculous because the first, like, two and a half seasons are all out of order. No. And then, like, it hits, like, halfway through season 3, and it just straight for the rest of the show, it's all one episode takes place after the next.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I can see that The Force Awakens may not be a perfect standalone movie, but for me as a Star Wars fan, it's everything that I wanted the prequels to be.
Yeah.
Great characters. It feels like a more modernized version of Star Wars. There's action that makes sense. Like, it's not just a bunch of... I mean, 400 people don't have lightsabers just swinging them around on the screen, you know? I mean, the action feels like it builds off of the plot and the characters more than it just does being extra special effects. And they use practical effects, and I just always think that's cool, whether that's Star Wars or another movie. I think practical effects are really cool, so.
Yeah, this movie...
I probably could have... Oh, sorry.
It's not what I wanted, but I'll take it. And I'm very grateful that we got such a fun movie with so much fan service and stuff built in to make longtime fans of the series happy. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited to see where it goes, which I guess is a good thing that I'm not satisfied. I really, 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 really want more, like, right now.
Yeah. Like, I want episode 8 needs to be here tomorrow, or else I'm going to freak out.
Yeah, I'm going to freak out on the airplane, man.
Yeah.
And the Adam Abu Nasser. Where is Star Wars? When Star Wars?
Yeah, I mean, I love the shit out of this movie. I really dug it, and I'm not stupid. I know that there's a lot of issues with it, but at the end of the day, I don't care.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say there's a lot of issues with it. I don't think there's a lot of issues with it. Like,
I think outside of, like, honestly, Adam, everything you mentioned outside of, I think, some of the character arc stuff, like, I don't disagree with you, but I just don't care.
Yeah, I don't feel like any of it is stuff that I can't deal with. You know, like the stuff about Rey learning the Force too quickly, or you know, the pacing being faster than previous movies. None of that is anything that's going to hinder my enjoyment of this movie.
Go on, Nick.
That stuff's like it's like I said, it's pretty like nitpicky. If that's the worst we can come up with, I mean, it's a good movie.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, like I'm in love with this world and these characters, and I want to see whatever happens next with them, whatever form it takes. I haven't really felt that way about like a movie series slash like I guess overall universe in a very long time. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, I'm.
I mean, at this point, I've only even seen the movie once, and I intend to see it a whole bunch more.
Yeah, we're
seeing it in IMAX, actually.
Yeah, I'm probably going to see it in a couple days and see it again.
Matt, how many times have you seen it?
Three?
Yes.
A guy at work, his brother saw it three times in one day, the first day came out.
Oh, gosh. No, I did it. I didn't do that all in one day.
My brother saw it. My brother saw it, like, twice within 12 hours.
I saw it. Mine were all within a span of 36, so.
Man, my brother and I saw it in Times Square, and then after the movie, my asshole brother was going up to strangers and whispering in their ears, Han Solo dies. Han Solo dies.
What a jerk.
What a prick.
I know, I was so upset. I was like, hey, what are you doing? And he turns and he whispers to me, Han Solo dies. And I'm like, you fucking asshole, you can't do that.
When we were walking out of the theater, I went and saw it with a friend. And we were walking out of the theater, and there was still a line of people, because we went and saw the very first showing, and so the line was formed for the next one, and they hadn't been seated yet. And we're walking by, and he turns to me, and very loudly he shouts, man, I can't believe Jar Jar was the Sith Lord the whole time. And everybody just laughed. But
what do we all think of Snoke?
I don't know.
I feel like that's kind of how I feel about him. I do feel like when I first saw him, he was that giant thing. I was like, wow, that's kind of, because most things in Star Wars, they're not that big. And then I realized at the end, oh, he's a hologram. He's been a hologram the whole time. So then I feel like he's not really that big, you know? But I feel like we need to know more of him, because it sounds like Han and Leia are familiar with him. Because Leia said, no, it was Snoke that, you know, turned him to the dark side. And later on, Han says, oh, he's just using you, and then he's going to crush you, and you know that's true. So it sounds like they are at least familiar with who this guy is, and so I kind of am, you know, I'm interested in knowing how do they know this guy, what's his connection, how did he turn Kylo Ren to the dark side.
Yeah, and I feel like Andy Serkis is really game as the voice and in the role. I mean, it's kind of also like Captain Phasma, where, like, I see the potential there, but, like, show it to me.
Yeah, Phasma, I think you talked a little bit about this, but I was kind of disappointed that she wasn't given more to do.
Yeah, it's a badass outfit, but she did nothing.
And especially because before I saw the movie, I read an interview with J.J. Abrams, and he's like, oh, yeah, Captain Phasma is a really cool character. I love Captain Phasma, and Gwendolyn Christie does such a good job in this role. And then I get to the movie, and she's in, like, three scenes. And she doesn't really do much of anything. She yells at Finn, and she... and then later she gets, you know, put in a trash compactor.
Yep.
So I was like, where's the coolness of that? But I think one of the cool things about this is that we leave this movie, and all three of the main bad guys are in a very bad place. You know, General Hux, you know, they just got it handed to them.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, with Kylo Ren going to complete his training and Captain Phasma, you know, somehow escaping the trash compactor and stuff, you know, I think our heroes are going to get rocked in the next one. I really do.
So. Yeah, I mean, I would like to think that the plot will differ wildly from Empire as far as, like, the actual structure, but I think that, like Empire, it's going to end on a down note.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, yeah, and Kasdan likes, you know, likes that whole having the middle part of a story be the darkest sort of.
Although I don't believe Kasdan is writing
I think he had some. I think he had some input though, because
yeah,
he and J.J. Abrams talked, and they were saying, well, kind of when they were laying the foundation for 7, they also laid the foundation for 8 and 9, and some of the things that they thought would be cool to do, they really wanted to do in 7, but they thought, oh, we can't do this in this one because this has to happen first, so let's save that for 8 and 9. So I think Kasdan had some like input, even if he's not directly writing the next one. I think he has some influence over it.
I mean, Kasdan is absolute gold, as far as I'm concerned. He's writing the Han Solo anthology film, which I look forward to that very much so.
See, I feel like 8 is going to be about what happened between 6 and 7. So they're going to delve into who's Rey's parents are, who left her there, what happened to Luke's like children apprentices, where the dark Sith Lord dude comes from, which I think he's probably Luke's failed apprentice.
I mean, he is. Like, that's...
Wait, like, did they say that, or no, is that no, just obvious?
Adam's talking about implied. Adam's talking about Snoke.
I think Snoke was his first Padawan, and he turned, and Luke was like, well, fuck, let's go find some children. He was too old. Finds children, and then Snoke goes and takes a child, and it's like, hey, you should go kill all the other children. So that's what I think. But anyways, I think they'll get into that in 8, and then 9 is going to be the big final showdown where Rey is fully trained and Kylo Ren is fully trained.
Luke dies a heroic, tragic death.
No, he's going to be tired and old and make some soup and just kind of ease into it.
I hope in the next one, I hope in 8, when Luke's explaining that backstory, he says, he killed younglings.
He killed younglings.
I mean, I actually kind of hope that episode 8 isn't that mired in backstory. I mean, do what you need to do, but make the plot move forward.
Oh, no, I want to sit and enjoy it, you know? I don't want to be on the edge of my seat.
You'll have some expanded universe shit to go devour.
Man, I don't want to
really
read.
Really want to know the backstory.
I don't want to read or watch
Read a
TV.
Wikipedia page. That's what I did with a lot of the expanded universe stuff.
The Wikipedia. Yeah.
Yeah, Wikipedia.
But like I said, I think some of this big important stuff is probably anthology film material.
Yeah.
So, I love that they're doing that, because then they don't have to spend a lot of time explaining things to me in the episodes. Like, they don't have to.
Exactly.
Like, especially the political stuff. I saw somebody was complaining. They're like, well, we don't know what the motivations are of the Republic, and we never get to see that. And I was like, yeah, but when we saw that in the prequels, it was so boring and stupid.
Yeah, and it's also not important to the story that they're telling in The Force Awakens.
No, this is a very character-driven story. And so, like, I mean, Rey doesn't care about what debates the Republic is having. And so we...
And I do think they're... Like, when a bunch of Republic planets blew up, that was weird that no one really seemed to be that bothered by it.
Yeah, but then again, Alderaan. I mean, other than Leia, nobody really seems that upset about it. I mean, Obi-Wan was very upset. Obi-Wan, like, mentions that millions of voices were silenced or whatever, but then they just kind of move on to, here's the Death Star. So it was kind of similar to that. I feel like we cared a little more about Alderaan just because that's where Leia was from and stuff. But we didn't even get to see people's faces on Alderaan. At least in this movie, you know, they showed people, you know, that there were actually people on the planet, and we got their perspective.
Was anyone else upset that there was just a giant Death Star? Oh, it's not a Death Star. It's a giant Death Star.
It's a planet.
Oh, man, it was so... That made me kind of angry. Like, really?
Well, it was.
I do kind of love that. Like, the Empire is like, what do we do? I don't know. Build a giant thing that could blow up shit.
Like, that's what they do in every movie. They did it in Episode 3. They did it in 4. They did it in. They didn't do it in 5, like, but they did it in 6.
The First Order isn't really the Empire. They're like a new group that's just sort of using some of their ideas, I guess, but they're their own thing.
I mean, I would assume there's holdovers there, but I bet you there's just like one guy who's got like a contractor business, and it's just like, dude, we're gonna get like the Empire by the end of Return of the Jedi are probably like, hey man, you're just trying to get us to pay you to build these things, like, we're out. And this contractor survives after the second Death Star blows up, and it's just like, all right, I gotta find some more people to swindle. She's like, I'll build you guys a Death Star. And they're like, well, we don't want one of those. I'm like, what if it's the size of a planet? And then he gets a lot of money. It's a good contract job.
I want to see that movie.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just another, you know, Kylo Ren is a Darth Vader fanboy. The First Order seems like they're Empire fanboys.
They want
to revive and take on the mantle of being the new Empire. And so they, you know, raise stormtroopers, they have a Emperor figure, and they build Death Stars. And because that's what
they got rid of the Death Star in this one. So, like, they're obviously not going to do another one in either of the next two films. So it's going to be something different.
Which
is good. Well, the only thing I could have done without at all was the rehash of the actual, like, the trench run. They actually did a trench run. I think they could have not done that.
Yeah, it wasn't as long as it was in episode 4, and it wasn't the main character doing it, and there wasn't that use the force moment. So, I mean, it was a little different, it was a little faster. But yeah, I don't think they necessarily needed to. I think that was one moment where they kind of flashed back to A New Hope, and maybe it was a little bit unnecessary.
I don't know, in A New Hope, I always laugh my ass off in that scene when Darth Vader is out there in his little spaceship, shooting.
He's spinning around.
It's so fucking funny.
I do love the robot chicken thing with him just spinning around. And like a TIE fighter gets by him, it's like, I feel like I should stop this, but it's too funny.
Mm. Okay, we should probably leave our conversation there. We've been going for quite a while, so unless you guys have any quick final comments, we'll wrap it up now.
I'm sorry if my brother ruined Star Wars for you.
they're not listening to this if you know.
Well, I don't know. Do we have listeners that walk around Times Square? Maybe.
There was someone who was on vacation being like, some fucking asshole ruined Star Wars for me.
Yeah, I would love if it was someone that knows someone that listens to this show. Like, so if that happens, send your hate mail to Adam at...
No, to Adam's brother.
Yeah, Adam's brother at NintendoReport.com. Anyway, yeah, I mean, I just wanted Star Wars more, please.
Yeah.
Nothing now. But Star Wars.
Yeah. Neil, you said to me on Twitter, you said, inject that into my veins. And yeah, that about sums up how I feel about it, too.
Yep.
I need more and I need it now.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Bye, everyone. Right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Morning church bells ring.
Happy Christmas, happy Christmas.
All good people stand and sing.
Happy Christmas, happy Christmas.
Me to you. Happy Christmas to you and to you and to you. Happy Christmas to you and to you and to you. Happy Christmas to you and to you and to you. Happy Christmas to you and to you and to you.
Children and children play.
Happy Christmas, happy Christmas.
From early morn to the end of the day.
Happy Christmas, happy Christmas.
Me to you. Happy Christmas to you and to you and to you. Happy Christmas to you and to you and to you. Happy Christmas to you and to you and to you. Happy Christmas to you and to you. La 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 la
Christmas to you and to you and to you. Happy Christmas to you.